the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, there in the Old Testament. And once you found your place there, then you had to go over to the right. We're going over to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, for just a little bit tonight. I want to give you something that I hope will help you not only tonight, but in the days to come. I believe it's a very needed and necessary message, certainly for me, and I hope it is for you. I told Sister Sharon back there, most times she's on my left. I'm glad she finally got on my right side, and she's over here on this side now. Somebody asked me one time, said, "Preacher, you do a lot of preaching on this side." And I said, "Well, most times Sharon's over here, so I guess I have to get over here on this side now." I'm just kidding, sister. You know I love you. But Genesis chapter number 3, it's all right to smile, ain't it? Hey, it does us good. And but Genesis chapter number 3 is where we're going to begin, and we'll eventually be over there in Ephesians chapter number 4 is where we'll look here in just a second. And my wife just reminded me, and we'll change that September 30th. I did not realize that. And so anyhow, with that wedding day, so we'll get that scheduled around. We want to be one of the first ones to get Brother Tolbert in here, but I didn't realize that was wedding day. So we will change that. Don't worry about it. So some of you ain't going to think a thing about the message if I didn't tell you that. So anyhow, Ephesians chapter number 4, but we're going to start in Genesis chapter 3 first. And I found this some time ago, maybe a year or two ago, and it's not the same message that I preach, but the Lord just sort of reminded me of this as I look back through it, and I want to be a help to you tonight. If you found your place, if you could stand with us in honor, reverence to the reading of the Word of God, Genesis chapter 3, and I want to begin reading. Of course, this is the fall of mankind, and mankind did fall there in the garden, and as a result of that, the Lord handed out and he meted out some judgments against the man and against the woman and also against the serpent, which was Satan. And the Bible said this, notice with me, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 13. "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Now let's pray. Father, as you bow and you praise us, God, again tonight, saying thank you for the good word of God. Thank you for the good singing. Lord, we thank you for your blessings on us. Thank you for the good rain you sent our way. Thank you for the folks that came out on this Sunday evening, Lord's Day service. And Father, I pray that you'd bless them for their efforts. I pray that you'd honor your word. Help this feeble preacher now to decrease, that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. I pray that you'd meet every need. There's one listening, never been saved. God, may tonight be the night of salvation. But I pray for the believer. Pray that you'd help me. Pray that you'd help us all to apply these principles and these truths to our life tonight. We'll be careful to give you thanks and praise for all you do, for we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people say it. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. And we will be in Ephesians chapter number 4 momentarily, so you just hang with me right here. But I want to flip back for just a second. I want you to get this. And most of it, probably nobody in here is not familiar with this text. But of course, in Genesis 2, you'll often hear me make this statement, we have nothing to boast about because we can trace our ancestry back to dirt. Now, that's right. And a lot of folks say, oh, look at what I did, look at what I done. But we can trace all of our ancestry. It goes back to the dust of the earth. For the Bible said this in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So God one day, Brother Tony, he picked up a clump of dust and worked that thing out. That he formed man and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But we originated from the dust of the ground. Now if you're with me, say amen. Now in Genesis 3, God lays out a curse on three. One being the man, one being the woman, because of the rebellion, because of the sin, and because of the beguiling of the serpent. And I want you to focus in on something here in Genesis 3 and verse number 14. And keep in mind, Brother Tony, we were formed from the dust of the ground. Notice the curse that was made in verse 14 of Genesis 3. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and what? Dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. The curse that was laid out under the serpent, which is representative of Satan and the devil and the prince of this world, the Bible said, he is to eat dust the rest of his life. Well, what's the big deal about that? What's the point? Well, that's what we're made out of. So what does he feed on? Well, you're looking at him and I'm looking at y'all. That's who he feeds upon. It was a curse that he would feed upon the dust of the ground. I understand the literal interpretation of that. Of course, he's going to be crawling on the ground with that serpent crawling upon the ground. He's going to eat dust. But you and I are made of the dust of the ground, and he feeds on this flesh in which we're enrobed. Now, I want to preach on a thought tonight about this. How in the world can I starve the devil out of my life? How can I starve the devil? Notice I'm preaching on this side a little more tonight. How can I starve the devil? Just playing with you, Sister Sharon. How can I starve the devil out of my life? But the principle and the fact is, he feeds upon the dust of the earth. And according to Genesis 2 and verse number 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's where we can trace our ancestry back to. And this old flesh is wicked. I can still remind you that the day we got saved, our soul was saved. But listen, this old flesh is still as wicked and corrupt as it's ever been. Somebody said the other day, they was listening to a preacher on, I believe it's on WBRF over there, 98.1 early in the morning on Sunday. And they said, well, hey, this preacher said that man don't have a soul. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that man has a soul. And I said, well, that's a false doctrine. That's a false preacher. I said, you go to Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 30. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, all thy mind, with all thy strength. How in the world could we love God with all of our soul if we didn't have one? Amen. Just moving right on right here. But our soul is saved, but this old fleshly body is still as wicked as it's ever been. That's what the devil feeds upon. He feeds upon flesh. Well, what are some of the tendencies of our flesh? That's what we want to look at. Because listen, he bites on us and he feeds on us all the time. The scripture said over there in 1 Peter 5:8, we know it well, to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's devouring dust. You and I, well, how in the world can we starve him out of our life? I believe God gives us some principles here. If you will, turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 4. And of course, I love this text. Again, the human penman would have been the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus, a church that he loved, that he spent 3 years there in the book of Acts. Of course, Acts chapter number 20, the Apostle Paul addressed the elders of the church. He told them to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Listen, I belong unto the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know? Because he purchased me with his blood. If you know Christ, you belong to him as well. But Paul had a great love for the church in Ephesus, spent a lot of time there as he preached unto them over and over again. But in Ephesians chapter number 4, he lays out some things that I believe are some tendencies of our flesh. And when I begin to read them, you'll say, well, man, I'm familiar with that preacher, and we're familiar with it, but it seems like we always struggle in the same departments over and over again. You know what was that boy that kept falling into the fire? The Bible said he oft times, that unclean spirit was in that man, and his daddy said, hey, he oftentimes falls into the fire. You see, the devil continues to trip us up in the same place over and over and over again. You'd think we would get that advantage over him, but he continues to eat upon us. And if we want to starve him out of our life, we need to put him on notice that, hey, from this day on, Lord, we need help in this department. Somebody said, well, you know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that I don't understand, and I'm with you. There's a lot of things that I don't understand. That's why I believe the Scripture puts in there the secret things belong unto the Lord. But you got to keep laboring in the Scripture. But this is what I found out, Brother Brandon. There's enough that I do know. Don't worry about the things that you don't know. Because what we're going to deal with tonight, we all know about them. But sometimes we keep falling oftentimes back into the same old rut and the same old issue. Why? Because the devil feeds upon us. And we want to learn how to starve him out of our life. Notice here in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 21. Notice these things that he said. And he's going to talk about the old man. He talks about the old man. That's prior to salvation. Then he talks about the new man. That's when we get saved. And of course the Scripture said, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But listen, he gives us a new nature, but we still have this old wicked and corrupt flesh. So he talks about the old man and the new man. Look with me in verse number 21 of Ephesians 4. If so be that ye have heard him, who's that him? Go back up to verse 20. He's talking about Jesus Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. And that conversation, that's not having to do with the words we say. That has to do with our behavior prior to salvation. The way that we behaved. He said that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Now notice, putting that on that new man, that's my responsibility, that's your responsibility as well, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now look at verse 25. He begins to list some specific things that he knew we would struggle with. Wherefore, verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. That means there is a righteous anger that will please God, but there's also an anger that will displease God. We'll say more about that in a minute. He said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27 said, neither give place to the devil. What's going to happen if you give place to the devil? I'll tell you what's going to happen. He's going to feed on you. He's going to feed on me. He said, don't give a place unto the devil. So he tells us don't do that. So it is possible for us to starve him out of our life. Look at verse number 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that which is good to the use of edifying. That edifying is the building up. That's to build folks up. The other Scripture talks about ministering grace unto the hearers, and right here it is, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Look at verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now from verse 21 down to verse number 32, that's a mouthful. That's a great list of some things that the Lord knew that we would struggle with. He begins off talking about our former life, that old man prior to salvation. And then he tells us to put on the new man. Of course, verse number 24 said, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And we look at this text and we think about it. Did you know that Satan cannot claim any part of our life? Listen, as believers, Satan cannot, Brother Tony, claim any part of our life unless we give him a seat. Unless we provide a place for him. Why? He's a defeated foe. Hey, we're victorious, man. The battle rages on, but the victory's already been won. And he cannot have a place in our life unless we set him up a seat, unless we set him up a chair, unless we open the door and invite him in. Why? He's no longer my authority. Thank God the day that I got saved, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's the one that is to have dominion over me. But it's a choice, even in the Christian life. There's things that, we're getting bit apart. We're getting eat up by the devil because he feeds on the dust. And we're made out of dust. He feeds on our flesh. But he cannot stake a claim to any part of our life unless we give him a place. I'd ask you this question. And it's a question that all of us are going to stumble and fall at. Is there ever a time when the devil would be comfortable around me? Is there ever a time when a devil would be comfortable around you? It's a good question to ask. Because when these things that he listed, when we're doing them, he's real comfortable being right beside of us. Stay with me now. That's a fact. That's the truth. And I understand it's Sunday night, but this is where the Lord has delivered our heart. What are some areas that the devil thrives in? A place where he feels comfortable. Well, he's going to be around folks that like to tell lies. They like to embellish the truth a little bit. Notice verse number 25. He said, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." You say, "Well, preacher, I wouldn't tell a lie, but you might stretch the truth a little bit." You know what? The devil would be real comfortable around us if we have that tendency to do that. And you know what he continues to do? When we make that choice to lie, Brother Tony, he takes another bite out of us. He continues to feed upon us. But we want to starve him out of our lives. If we're going to, we're going to have to cut ties with a lying tongue. Think about this. The devil has built his kingdom upon deception and lies. How do we know? John chapter 8 and verse 44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now that's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that he's built his kingdom on deception and lies. If I were to ask you, is there any areas of dishonesty in your life? If there is, then you've provided a place for the devil to continue to feed upon you. If you want to starve him out, you're going to have to cut ties with that dishonesty in your life, because the devil feels right at home in that type of environment. And we know the Lord builds his kingdom on truth. John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John 17, in verse number 17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." But a lying and a dishonest person, that's an individual that can set up a place. Now listen, just because you're saved, don't think you can't lie. Don't think you can't be dishonest, because you can. Amen. David was a man after God's own heart. He fell into an adulterous relationship. I mean, he basically conspired unto murder of Uriah and lied about it. And think about that. That was a man after God's own heart. If David could do it, sure enough, O'Brien could do it. And all of us can. But if we want the devil to quit feeding on us, we want to starve him out of our life, we need to make sure we're not telling lies or being dishonest or embellishing the truth. That's why Jesus said, "Let your conversation be yea, yea, and nay, nay." Sometimes it needs to be yes, no. Yes, no, you don't have to elaborate. Amen. We see lying. He talks about that. And boy, this ain't a real shouter message, but it's needed. Talks about lying. But look at verse 26. You say, "Well, I do pretty good, preacher. I'm not dishonest." What about this next? And look at verse number 26. "Be ye angry and sin not." Again, there is a righteous anger, but then there's an anger that crosses the line. He said, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." What if I do, preacher? Well, he said, "Neither give place to the devil." It's not difficult for us to get angry. Christian and I were talking about this coming up the road a while ago about a situation. And listen, a lot of folks say, "Well, now what would Jesus do?" Jesus wouldn't a sissy. He wouldn't. A lot of folks say, "Well, what would Jesus do?" All you got to do is look in the Word of God. I mean, Jesus had a righteous anger about him. He sure did. You remember when he was cleansing the temple? And I'm going to flip over there and I'm going to read that here in just a second. But you know what? He didn't say, all right, fellas, if you don't mind, would you please get out of the temple? No, sir. That ain't what he said, and that ain't what he did. The Bible lets us know that he got a cord, some small cords, and he made a scourge. What's a scourge used for? Brother Brandon, that's used to whip people. And the Bible said he drove them out. He wasn't playing around. He wasn't happy, and he wasn't just whistling, and he wasn't singing Amazing Grace. He had a righteous anger when he drove that crowd out of the temple because they had made his father's house a den of thieves. Bible said this. Don't take my word for it. You better take the Lord's word for it. John 2 and verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, watch this, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. I don't think he went. I think he got them, and I think he threw them and overthrew the tables. He got that cord, and he drove them out. There is a righteous anger. But you can cross that line. You sure can. And there ought to be a righteous anger about the killing of the unborn. Amen. Of all the wickedness and all the sin that we deal with in this world. But you can't let the sun go down upon your wrath, even on that. Why? Because it'll control your life. And you'll give a place to the devil. And what Christy and I were talking about, and it does, it burns me up, and I have to ask God to help me in this department. One of the saddest things, and it's happening more and more regularly, but you got elderly saints of God, you got elderly people that have deadbeat children and deadbeat grand. And I don't know how to say it other than that. You could say, or children that take advantage of their elderly parents, or grandchildren that take advantage of their elderly parents, and they suck the life. They're just like parasites. They drain them continually. And the only people that can't see that they're getting taken advantage of is the one that are getting taken advantage of. And that, Brother Danny, that burns a blister on me. It burns me up. But I can't let the sun go down upon my wrath. Because if I do, I'll give place unto the devil. There's a righteous anger about holiness and righteous things. But then there's other times when we get upset and we get angry. And listen, the devil feels right at home where there's hostility and where there is anger. And you know what he continues to do? He continues to feed upon us. Now, we're trying to starve him out of our life. According to Genesis chapter number 3, he feeds on dust. Well, we're made of the dust of the ground, Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. If we want to starve him out of our life, we got to set up these flags in the honesty department, in the lying department, because he'll be comfortable around us if we like to stretch the truth, or if we're dishonest, or if we tell lies here and there. He feels comfortable around us. And if we get angry and we get mad about certain things, and he feels right at home where there's hostility and where there is anger. Think about this. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. The Bible said, "For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." He feels right at home in that environment where there's anger and hostility. God said, don't let your son go down upon your wrath. And that's why a husband and a wife, you got to make sure. There may be times if you ever spat. Listen, and listen, Christian, me and her spat. I'll be the first to tell you. Sometimes I try to make a spat so we can make up. Amen. You just got to make sure that you make up. But don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Why? Because it'll fester. It'll fester, and it'll get worse and worse and worse. And it's a great environment for the devil to dwell, and he continues to feed upon us and suck the spiritual virtue and power and life out of believers. Because he works in lying, he works with anger, but we ain't done. Look in verse number 28. What about stealing? The Bible said, let him that stole steal no more. Now, why would God put this in here if he knew it wasn't going to be an issue for us? Amen. All these principles. He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Did you know that anything we take that's not ours is thievery? Anything. A lot of folks say, well, bless God, that's right, preacher. Somebody that takes something from somebody, they're a thief. What about this? When you gossip about somebody, you know what you do? You assassinate their testimony. You're a thief. Thank you for the zero amens. But that's right. You assassinate somebody's character by tearing them down. You know what you are? God said you're a thief. And the devil feeds on you. And you've pulled up a chair for the devil to sit around you. Amen. And he continues to feed. If you want to starve him out of your life, you're going to have to cut that junk out. Amen. We think about this. A lot of folks think about an answer on a test. Oh, I'm just going to cheat and get this test. I'll tell you what that is. That is thievery. Gossiping, again, assassinates the testimony and character of another. Even tithes and offering, we could talk about that. But you think about what the devil did in Mark chapter 5. That man that made his dwelling among the tombs, you know what the devil did to him? He stole that man's sanity, stole his liberty, stole his joy, his health, and finally his freedom. That's exactly what he'll do to us. You know what the devil wants? He can't get our soul, we're saved, but man, he wants to make us miserable. Amen. And he will continue to feed on him, on you, on that flesh, until we starve him out of our life. So what kind of environment does he feel welcome around? Well, he likes dishonesty, lying, and embellishing the truth. He likes anger, those that show hostility, those that are mad all the time, those that go to bed mad and wake up mad. Man, he thrives in that environment. He thrives around drama, too, by the way. There's a lot of folks, man, Brother Brandon, a lot of folks just love drama. I can't stand it. Only thing I like about drama is how to spell it. Amen. Or our Easter drama. When I think about drama, I think about a Brahma bull. I don't know why that is. I don't know why I'm thinking about that. Remember those old rodeos, those big old bulls roll around? They call them the Brahma bulls. I always think about drama. And listen, the devil likes to hang around a dramatic person. I got to move on. He feeds on anger. He feeds on thievery, but he also feeds on corrupt communication. Notice in verse number 29, he said, let no, and you know what no means? That means nothing. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Did you know filthy mouths tell on a filthy heart? A filthy mouth will tell on a filthy heart. Well, preacher, I let one slip every once in a while. Well, that filthy mouth tells that you got a filthy heart. Yep, and hey, you know, Matthew 15, 18, listen to what Jesus said. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. God said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. And there are several reasons why, but we're dealing with this principle tonight. We want to starve the devil out of our life. But again, if we're going to try to witness somebody, win somebody to God, all they got to do is hear one foul mouth, a foul word come out of your mouth, you've lost all credibility. All credibility. You know, you can, and that's why we tell folks, and it's so important. You can live a life for 20 and 30 years. You can build up that testimony. I mean, you can have an impeccable character. Let one blow up happen, and you've ruined all that. They'll forget about those 30 years, Brother Danny, that it was an impeccable character. They'll remember that one time when that corrupt communication came out, when that lie came out, when that anger and hostility came out, when that dishonesty and that thievery came, that assassination of one's character by gossip. They'll forget about all the other things, but they'll remember that one bad thing. Perfect example. Many of you remember Ernest Biner, and I've told that story. I don't have the stats in front of me. I'm just thinking about it right now. Ernest Biner, of course, came through East Carolina University. He's in the Hall of Fame there at ECU with football, fullback. End up going and playing with the Cleveland Browns. He was drafted by the Browns. And there's a documentary on ESPN that's known as The Fumble. That's what it's called, The Fumble. And I forget what year it was, maybe 89, 87, somewhere around in there. They were on the goal line getting ready, and this was an AFC Championship game, getting ready to go to Super Bowl. All he had to do was punch it into the end zone, and David Castile of the Denver Broncos came around and punched the ball. He was all by himself, And Ernest Biner dropped the ball there on the 1 yard line, and the Cleveland Browns lost the game. Now, later on, he was traded to the Washington Redskins, ended up winning a Super Bowl with the Washington Redskins, went to 2 Pro Bowls in about 92 or 93, amassed a lot of records. He's in the NFL Hall of Fame. So here's a man that's in the NFL Hall of Fame. He's got 2 Pro Bowls. He's got ECU, all kinds of records still there. He's in the Hall of Fame there, but he's not remembered for the good that he did. He's remembered for that one day that he dropped the ball in the AFC Championship game and fumbled and cost the game to the Denver Broncos, and the Cleveland Browns ain't never done anything since. They really ain't. But it's known as the fumble. They don't remember all the good he did. You go to Cleveland, and we might have been around Cleveland. If you go to Cleveland, you ask anybody there, you say, hey, what do you think about Ernest Biner? You might get shot. They still hold a grudge against him. Why? They don't remember all the good he did. They remember that one situation in his life. And I'm telling you, friend, people will do the same thing for you and I. Same thing for you and I. One of the best Sunday school teachers I ever had that I remember vividly well. I don't remember all the lessons now. I just remember he walked away from God one day. Turned into a drunk. Left his family, left his children, left his wife. And that's how I remember him. Now, I don't remember him being the great Sunday school teacher. I remember a man that dropped the ball. Amen. And walked away from the Lord. I don't want to be like that. I don't want you to be like that. But understand, the devil will feed on us if we allow him to. And that corrupt communication will damage your testimony. He'll feed upon you. I got to move on. Look with me in verse number 30. The Bible said there, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Preacher, what if I do tell lies? What if I do let corrupt communication come out of my mouth? What if I am angry? And what if I'm dishonest? What if I'm a thief? What if I do all those things? If you're saved, you break the heart of Almighty God. Did you know you can't grieve anybody that don't love you? The devil's not grieved when we do right. But the devil, or God, sure is grieved when we do wrong. Amen. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Look at verse number 31. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, God's writing this epistle and this letter unto believers in Ephesus, and they needed it in that day, and I need it in this day, and we as a church and church members and believers, we need this message today, because the devil just continues to feed on us. If we want to starve him out of our lives, we're going to have to let some of these things be put off from us. But I think about this when we let lying and anger and thievery and corrupt communication, bitterness and malice have a part of our environment. We provided an environment for the devil to just thrive and feed upon us. It's interesting, in verse 31, he lays out a list of bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. And there's a great progression that is seen in the wording that's laid out right there. When you think about bitterness, bitterness leads to wrath. Well, what is wrath? That's like internal heat. Like a slow burn and a smolder that's just getting ready to break forth. So you got bitterness, wrath, and then that leads to anger. That's a bursting into a burning inferno. That leads to clamor. What is clamor? That is that crying loudly, evil speaking, and out of control. You ever see anybody get upset and get mad and they start hollering? So, wait a minute, preacher, I heard you do that. Well, listen, I can't help that. I don't have that clamor. I hope I don't have that clamor about me. I'm just trying to be biblical. The Bible said in Isaiah 58:1, he said to cry aloud, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. That's what he said to do, to be loud. But a lot of times, you ever seen anybody get upset and they start hollering, just screaming at one another? You ever seen that? I hope you haven't seen too much of it. But we've been alive long enough. Probably ain't many of us in here that ain't been affected by that at some point or the other. Where does that come? That is a perfect environment for the devil to snuggle right up beside. He loves that. He loves that bitterness. He loves that wrath. He loves that anger. He loves that clamor. And then it talks about malice. That's a fervent desire to hurt someone. Amen. or desire to see someone suffer. That's what malice is. Somebody hurts you so bad. And this is what the devil will tell you. The devil will, he'll try to tell you, you know, you have a right to be bitter. You have a right to be angry. You have a right to have anger against them. You have a right to be bitter and to show malice against them. That's what the devil will tell you, but God won't tell you that. But when we get to that point, we're allowing the devil to feed upon you and I. A lot of times we say, oh, the devil, maybe the devil didn't make us do anything. Again, the devil can't stake a claim to any part of our life because we're bought with a price, praise the Lord, by the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's got a place, we've allowed him to have it. We provided a seat. We provided a chair. We've opened the door for him to come in. Well, preacher, how in the world am I going to overcome this? There's three things in this text. I'm going to hit them and we're done. Three things we got to do, and you'll find it verse 22, verse number 27, also verse number 23 and 24. What we got to do, preacher? Well, when it comes to this lying that he talks about here in verse number 25, or dishonesty, or embellishing the truth, that anger in verse 26, the thievery in verse 28, the corrupt communication in verse 29, the bitterness in verse 30. Oh, and by the way, a lot of folks say, well, I'm bitter at somebody, but it don't affect anybody. That ain't what God said. Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness don't just affect us, it affects those around us. And you see, the devil will eat on us, and then he eats on everybody else, and we're the tool of Satan himself. But look at verse number 22. How are we going to overcome this? How can we starve the devil out of our life? Well, we're going to have to repent. We're going to have to repent. That's a change of mind. Verse 22, that you put off. There's that change of mind. You got to put it off. Quit wearing all these things. Why? Because the devil's feeding on you. He said, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. A lot of folks don't like the word repentance because they have to agree with God that what they're doing is not right. And God said, hey, you got to agree with me. And in order for you to agree with him, you got to change your mind and repent of your sin. If you don't, the devil's going to continue to feed on you. So we got to repent. Number two, how in the world are we going to starve the devil out of our life? We're going to have to repent, verse 22. We're going to have to resist him. Look at verse 27. The Bible said, neither give place to the devil. Now, if we couldn't accomplish that, the Lord wouldn't have told us to do it. We don't need to give him a place. We got to resist him. I've told you what color the devil is. He's not red. He's not red and got a cape and a long tail and a pitchfork and horns and red. No, he's the most beautiful creature you could ever see. But I tell you this, he's yellow. He's yellow. How you know he's yellow? Listen to what the Bible said, James 4 and verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He has no choice. When you resist him and you submit yourself to God, he's a yellow coward and he's got to flee from you. So how are we going to keep him from starving, or how are we going to starve him out of our life? You're going to have to repent and agree with God and change your mind. Put off that old man, that conversation, that behavior. Put it off, what we're talking about tonight, because if you don't, he's going to continue to feed on you because he feeds on dust and we're made of the dust of the ground. We're going to have to repent. We're going to have to resist him. And it's not like, all right, well, I'm going to resist him today and boy, tomorrow's a holiday and I'll take a break. No, friend, you got to do it every day. Daily. Paul put it best in Galatians 2 and verse number 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're going to have to crucify that flesh daily. Jesus said to take up your cross, not weekly or monthly, but daily. You got to continue to resist him. But notice this third thing that I'm doing. We got to repent. Have a good one. Starve the devil out of our life. We're going to have to repent, change our mind, put off that old man. We're going to have to resist, need to give place to the devil. But we're going to have to renew some things. What we're going to have to renew? Look at verse 23 again. He said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, you're not going to be renewed in the spirit of your mind until you get past. You can't claim 23 until you claim 22. Look what it say in verse 22. Verse 22 said to put off. Ain't that what it said? Put off. Well, you're not going to be renewed in verse 23 until you put it off. You got to put it off before you can renew some things. He said, put on, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Look at verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in holiness, in righteousness and true holiness. All the way through life, we have choices. Our kids, they make a choice where they're going to go to school, where they're going to go to college. A lot of them sometimes may have to be accepted, but they got to drive and you know, a certain drive to go to a certain area, whatever they're going to do, and they're going to do that, and they're going to make a decision. And the individual comes to a point in their life, and I hope everybody here has, you come to that point where you acknowledge that you're a sinner and you believe Jesus died for you, and there's a time in your life where you've called upon the name of the Lord. Again, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And praise God, you make that decision to be saved. That's not it. You got to continue to make decisions every day that you live, every day that I live. What am I going to do? Am I going to honor Christ? Am I going to honor myself? Am I going to honor the world? Am I going to give in to temptation? It's a choice that God gives us. Again, the devil cannot stake any claim to our life unless we invite him in. Brother Tony, he does not have that authority. He does not have that power unless we invite him in. But I asked the question early on, does the devil feel comfortable around you? Does he feel comfortable around me? He thrives in areas of lying and dishonesty. He thrives in areas of anger and thievery and corrupt communication and gossip and bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and malice. He thrives around those things. But you know, the Scripture said, as Brother Peyton's coming in Ephesians 5, and we say this often, the Bible said, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. God wants us to be filled, and that's a choice, by the way, to be living under the control and under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And we need that control every day in which we live. I would ask you this question. Does the devil have any key to any area of your life? Any area. You have a trouble with your tongue? Do you have trouble with gossip? Do you have trouble with bitterness, with anger? I mean, listen, we're all made out of the same stuff. You might be doing good right now. You say, preacher, I'm doing pretty good today. Well, tomorrow ain't God here yet. If you live, you're going to be confronted with some different things in life. And it's a choice in which we may. Man, some of us need to serve some eviction papers on the devil, because he's been living at our house way too long, because he's been way too comfortable, man. He's been feeding on us, sucking the joy and the life out of our victorious Christian life. And it's all because we've pulled up a chair beside him by allowing these things to come and allowing him to come into our life. We know what he feeds upon. We got to repent. We got to resist him, and we need to renew, put on that new man day by day by day. I mentioned this morning about our kids, and it's so important. We got to do this. We got to instruct them. We got to intercede on their behalf. Somebody's got to continue to pray and call their name out in prayer. We got to continue to invest in their lives. And we got to continue to invest in the church family and in this community. Why? Because the devil's just gobbling folks up. As a roaring lion, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. But he feels way too comfortable around a lot of us because he's got keys to the areas of our life. And we need to serve eviction papers on him tonight. If you're struggling in one of these areas, hey, the Bible still said we have not because we asked not. If there's a stronghold in your life that needs to come down, you cannot do it with the strength of this flesh. You're going to have to lean upon God to help you in these areas, and so you can kick him out of your life so he'll quit feeding on you and he'll quit feeding on me. As we stand to our feet all over the house, let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, privilege, Lord, again, just to preach your word. Lord, I've done my best to empty myself of the message of the hour. God, you know my heart. Lord, I need help in this department. So many times it's easy to fall prey to the temptations of the devil. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be faithful in these areas of our life. Sure does want to feed on us, Lord. And I pray that eviction papers would be served to those that maybe the devil feels comfortable around. I pray for that home that may be in trouble. Pray for that parent and child relationship, it may be in trouble. God, where there's anger, there's bitterness. And Lord, we know the devil says, well, it's okay to hurt somebody and it's okay to hate somebody. Lord, I pray that you deal with that heart. Help us to be Christians, Lord, that have an influence in this world. God, I pray that the devil would quit feeding on us. God, we'll be careful to give you thanks, give you praise, what you do in this invitation time. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.